Just a few verses from God's Word this evening I want to read. In the book of Job, in the chapter 9, the ninth chapter of the book of Job, and because of time, we'll just read the first 8 verses that are found here in Job chapter 9. And then we want to look at a statement which is found, a question, a very solemn question, indeed, that will startle and surprise. The reality of it should startle and surprise us. In verse 1, chapter 9 of the book of Job, read these words. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how shall man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him 1 of 1,000. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. It is that statement in verse number 4 that I want us to look at, or that question that is there in verse number 4 of Job chapter 9, which says, who hath hardened himself against God and hath prospered? Who hath hardened himself against God and hath prospered? Now, people today are crying out for prosperity. Men and women are looking for their own well-being. We live in a selfish age when men and women are wanting to prosper. They're wanting to get on. They're wanting to gain more than they've ever desired it before. And yet we find the Word of God asks a question, and the suggestion indeed is a surprising one. It ought to be a startling one, because it speaks about hardening oneself against God. But here's the question that surrounds it. It says, who hath hardened himself against God and hath prospered? Who is the man, the woman, the person that has hardened themselves against God and prospered? That's the question that I want to pose and I want us to deal with on this final service, this final Sunday evening of 2004. You say, but surely it cannot be so that a man would seek or a woman would seek to harden themselves against God. And yet, my friend, sad to say, it's only too true. There are people who seek and endeavor to harden themselves against God, and friend, they're trying to do it hoping that somehow they will prosper, that somehow they will get their way, that somehow they will gain by it. And they think if they shut God out of their lives, if they keep God out of the picture, that somehow they are going to get by with it in a very special and a very personal way. And yet it asks the question, listen, who? Who hath hardened himself against God? Tell me, who is the one? Search the Scriptures. Search, my friend, the pages of time. Go over the pages of humanity, the existence of man, friend, from the day that God created man, and ask the question down the years, tell me, did you harden yourself against God and prosper? Did you? Did you? Did you? Go down the Scriptures, my friend, and ask the question. Go down the pages of time. Go down history's pages. And ask them, if you could bring them forth tonight to this auditorium, to this service
and bring them up into this pulpit and I could interview them, or you could interview them and ask them this question: you who hardened yourself against God, did you prosper? Did you make out well by it? Maybe for a moment they thought they did. You see, the psalmist says, I saw the wicked prosper. And he said, I saw them spread themselves like a green bay tree. Boy, they had plenty. They spread themselves, yes. They prospered. I saw the wicked prosper. You read Psalm 37, you read Psalm 32. In actual fact, the psalmist had a problem with it. He said, it wasn't until I went into the house of God and I realized the true situation. But looking at the natural eye, looking at through the eye of man, it seemed to be that man had prospered even though he hardened himself against God. And yet God asks the question, who hath hardened himself against God and prospered? It is a solemn question, friend. And I believe it deserves an answer. I believe it deserves an answer. Is there any wisdom in doing such a thing? Is it a wise thing for to harden yourself against God, friend? To think that you prosper? Is it wise? Whenever you think that God's your maker. You see, the psalmist said, there's a little baby down there. And that little baby, let me tell you, is fearfully and wonderfully made. This little child, how old is that child, Isabel? Right? 5 weeks. Just give me a tiny moment. Here's a little baby, friend. Just 5 weeks old. 5 week old child. You know what the psalmist said about this baby? The psalmist said that this child was fearfully and wonderfully made. Here are the toes. Two little fingers. This little child doesn't know that it's in front of a congregation tonight. Neither did I know it either, but nevertheless, we're doing it. Listen, friend, listen. See those three fingers? What God said? Those little fingers were fearfully and wonderfully made. And friend, that was you. That was me one day. We were lying in a mummy's arms, a daddy's arms. And we were fearfully and we were wonderfully made. He is our creator. Now the God that made you, the God that made you, friend, and the God that made me, here's the question. Who hath hardened himself against the God who made you? The God who formed you in your mother's womb. The God that, my friend, formed you in your mother's belly. As the scripture says it. Fearfully and wonderfully. That God who made you, friend. You're the one that's hardened your neck against the very God who made you. Your maker. Your creator. And that's the one that you're hardening your neck against, friend. It's not some stranger. It's not some far distant person. It's the one who formed you in your very mother's womb. Our maker. Who hath hardened himself against him. Your maker. Ah, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. For without him was not anything made that was made. Friend, not only your maker, your friend. Your friend. See, the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world, the one who loved you. We live in an unloving world, friend. People are tramping over one another and it doesn't bat an eyelid. to try and grab, to try and prosper. Let me tell you, they'll tramp you into the ground, friend, just to get to prosper as far as man's concerned. A man is cold, a man so often is callous. And yet the Word of God says, for God so loved the world, your greatest friend, the one that loved you even more than your mother could ever love you. You know what the Bible says? Listen, can a mother forget her suffering child? Can she? Isn't the Bible full of questions? But friend, it's full of answers. Because the answer to that question is this: yea, she may forget. Yes, she can do it. Many a mother has turned her back on her child. Many a father and mother, let me tell you, friend, have turned their back and they've pushed their children away. And let me tell you, they've walked away from their children, and without dropping an eye or dropping a tear from their eye, friend, they have just walked away because of the hold and the grip of sin in their lives. And they'll forsake their children. They'll turn their back on their nearest, and they'll turn their back on their dearest for a stranger. And God says she may forget. But God says this: but yet will not I forget thee. I won't forget you. There'll never be a friend like the God who made you, friend. He made you for himself. He made you for his honor and glory. So wonderfully, so fearfully. Let me tell you, the greatest doctor that has ever lived has confessed he's only touching, he's only scratching the surface as regards the human body that God created. And yet, God took the dust of the earth then. He made a man. Amazing. Only God could do it. Of course, that's why he's God. He can do anything but fail. Is it wise for a man to reject his maker? Is it wise for a man or a woman to turn their back upon their dearest friend? Friend, not only did God make you, not only does God love you, let me tell you, he sustains you. Every day of your life, he sustains you. Do you realize that whenever you get up in the morning, it's in him that you live and move? It's in him that we have our being? Listen, if God Almighty was to withdraw the breath from me, listen, you think you're self-sufficient, but let God take the breath, friend, and you breathe on. Let God just take the breath from your body and see how well you'll get up. Let God take the strength from your legs and just see how you walk out this church tonight. Let God Almighty take the sight from your eyes and see, friend, whether you can walk to the door without a helping hand. Yet you think you're so self-sufficient. Man thinks that he can do without God. I don't need God. What do I need God for? I only need him whenever I'm in an urgent, my back's against the wall in an emergency. Nobody else can help me. Then, of course, I'll call on him. But I'm only doing it because I have nowhere else to go. Let me tell you, friend. Let God take the light from these eyes, and let me tell you, I'll see nothing. Let God take the breath from this body, friend, and let me tell you, I'll speak no longer. Let God take the power from that hand, and let me tell you, friend, it'll fall. Let God take the breath completely, and I'm gone. You see, it's in him I live. It's in him I move. It's in him I have my being. You know what that means? Whether you or I like it or not, friend, we're nothing. I say, who am I? And of ourselves, were loving. Now that's a very solemn and humbling thought, friend. But listen, think how loving God is that He gives me breath. He gives me sight. He gives me power to move. He gives me this being. Isn't God loving to us? Isn't God good to us? He sustains us. He sustains us. Listen. Is it wise, my friend, for a person therefore to harden themselves against such a God? Because Job said this, God gave, but the Lord hath taken away. You see, He has a right to give, friend. He has a right to withdraw. He has a right to take away. And man thinks, you know, whenever God's giving and God's giving you Satan, when God's giving you strength and when God's giving you power and when God's giving you ability and when God's giving you the movement and sustaining your frame, when God's always handing out, oh, I praise Him. Nothing of the sort, friend. You take it for granted. You take it for granted. But you see, when God takes away, that's when the tears fall. That's when the rebellion comes in. Oh God, You have no right to take. You have no right to take. You have no right to move. Has He not, friend? Did He not give and you thought you didn't owe Him anything? Has He not the right to take away? Yes. Is it wise to harden yourself and fight such a God, friend? Do you really think that you'll prosper? The God who sees you, the God who knows you, friend, the God who not only looks on the outward appearance, the God who looks right into the heart, the God that knows you through and through, the God that sees your every action, the God who records for the day of judgment, the God who is the right and will one day bring to account, the God who will arraign man one day before Him. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Is it wise to fight Him? A man goes before the judge, friend. Does he think it's wise to have a real upstand row with the judge? Is that the way to do it? I'll take on this judge. I'll tell him a few things. Really, do you think? Is that a way to win your case? And yet the truth is this. That's nothing to the way that man treats a holy God. Here's the question. Who hath hardened himself against God? Impossible. You know, when you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10, the Lord Jesus one day, John's Gospel, chapter 10, let me just show you something here. It was winter time. At Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, the Lord Jesus stands in Solomon's porch. And as Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch, friend, He spoke words of light and He spoke words of wisdom and He spoke words of love. And as evening wore on, they gnashed on Him in rage and they sought to stone Him. This is what Jesus said. Look at John 10, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" What have I done against you? What have I done against you? What work have I done? Listen, I have done good works in my Father's name. And I've worked among you. I've worked miracles. I've healed your sick. I've given sight to your blind. I've raised even the very dead. He said, listen, I have showed you good works from my Father. For which of these, or which of these works? Tell me. Tell me, which of them? For which of them do you stone me? Sinner, God loves you tonight. Tell me, why are you? Why are you hardening your neck against the Son of God? Oh, people, their hardness. They harden themselves against God. And many times, because of the power of sin, friend, that sin is strengthened in their life by continuous indulgence. The fellow that started with the first drink, he didn't intend to become a drinker or drunkard. He took the first glass. He thought he was... maybe this made him a man, because that's what he was told by the world. That's what the world tells you. You see, you're not really a man unless you do the worldly things. And so you take the first booze and you take the first glass. Friend, that person didn't realize that one day, by the practice of that drink, that one day they'd become a boozer, become a drunkard. Just look back. If only they could look back over their lives, friend, and remember that first day. And that's where it started. Listen, friend. By your rejecting the Son of God, you are hardening your neck against Him. And the more you do it, the harder you become, friend. Yes, maybe it used to trouble you whenever you used to slip into the house. And maybe you had to wait until the house was all silent, and maybe the family were in bed because mum and dad didn't know. And maybe you got the chewing gum and you got all the things for to cover up the cigarettes or to cover up the drink and all the rest. And you went through all of this here just so nobody else would know about it. And everyone was asleep before you got into the house. Friend, let me tell you. And you're living the fool's paradise. For the God that will bring you to account one day saw everything. Every last thing. And friend, you see that action. You see that you were doing, friend. And you thought that, yes, all you were doing was covering up. Not at all, friend. It was getting ingrained into your body. It was getting ingrained into your life. Until one day you were completely caught. And you couldn't let go. So had it taken you, friend. So had it taken you. A pastor one day, or rather one morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, a man came to him and he said to him, "Pastor, I've come because I want to hold your hand. I will get down on my knees and have you swear me in the sight of God that I will break this habit, for it's utterly breaking me." He said, "My wife is broken by my booze." She said, "Husband, you've broken my heart. I'm completely crushed, even in health. I'm crushed because of your booze." His mother joined in and she said, "Son, if you don't quit soon, mother will be or will go to her grave believing that her son is doomed for a drunkard's death." Lying in the corner was his little girl, and she was lying with typhoid fever, and she said, "There's practically a little skeleton." She says, "Papa, you're breaking the hearts of us all and killing us all. If you don't quit soon, Papa, we'll all be dead. And the big fellow stood there before his pastor and he sobbed. And he said, I can't quit. I'm beaten. I'm weak. And let me tell you tonight, you can't harden your neck against God and prosper. Time's away tonight. That's the question, who? I wish I had time to go into it. You see, people, because of others, because of the influence of others, they harden their neck. George Whitefield said, oh God, forgive me for my wasted influence over other people. He was a ringleader in sin, and he led many astray. He says, oh God, forgive me for my wasted influence. Another man, only a few hours to live, I quote his words. He says, when I am gone, be certain to gather up my influence and bury it in the grave with me. For he knew his influence was for sin. Who can harden himself against God and prosper? Friend, I'm only going to give you the answer. Answers. No. Nobody. Nobody. There is not a man. There is not a woman that can harden themselves against God Almighty and prosper. The Word of God says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck, listen to these words, in the book of Proverbs, shall suddenly be destroyed, listen, and that without remedy. There's no return. When your sin destroys you, friend, when your sin damns you, there's no going back. Who shall harden himself against God and prosper? You're not going to make by, friend. Can I ask you a question? Then what are you going to do about it? Stop fighting God in God's name. Yield to him. O sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. What if he should strive nevermore? But leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore. O turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading, and steer for the harbor light. For how do you know that your soul may be drifting over the dead light tonight? Our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for all Thy love and all Thy mercy and all Thy grace. We pray, Lord, that You'll speak to hearts even in the closing seconds of this meeting. Turn the sinner to the Savior. Show them tonight that they can't sin and prosper. But God, You'll bring them down. The devil said, Eve, take it and you'll be as gods. And sin destroyed. Oh, Father, thank You for giving Thy darling Son who come to save. That which was lost. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, I wonder, is there someone listening to my voice tonight? And God has spoken to your heart. You've been fighting against your Maker. You've been fighting against your Sustainer. You've been fighting against the One who loves you best. Who hath hardened his neck against God? The prospered? No one, not you, friend. No one. You come to him as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And for those who are running away, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, follow after. As you followed Jonah, even to the belly of the ocean, follow after him tonight and bring him to Christ for Jesus' sake.